I had surgery on my foot. I smashed my toe in May, and it wasn't doing what it was supposed to be doing right or correctly, so the surgeon decided to take care of it. So every hour I have to put my, I get 10 minutes to walk around, then I got to sit back down with my foot up. So that, but I'm going to do more than 10 minutes right now, okay? So it's not going to be a 10-minute message and you're out of here. Just don't tell Dr. Mack, all right? I am so grateful for the privilege to be able to share with you all this morning. This message, I'm really praying that you open up your hearts and your minds, because it's a message that really clarifies what Christmas is all about and the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus and why he came. And there's all kinds of reasons, but there were some major reasons why he came. And I'm hoping this morning that you will see that clearly and grab a hold of it. It can change your life, all right? And so just walk with me this morning. I'm going through some interesting stuff. For this foot, they're giving me medicine. And I don't know about you, but have you ever had a medicine mess up your life? Well, during the first service, I was standing up here, and I have a chair back here that hopefully I can sit down quick enough, because I was really very close to just kind of sitting on the floor for a while. But just bear with me. If you see me waving back and forth or that, just bring your support, okay? But I want to share this, and I want to start, and I want in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us." Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, thank you for today. I ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, that the Holy Spirit would just move in our hearts and our minds today. And I ask, Father, that the Holy Spirit bring clarity to what you've directed me to share. And I thank you for that, Father. I give you praise for your desire to help us understand the magnitude of this little baby coming to earth. It's so much more than what we comprehend. And so I give you thanks and praise. And I give you thanks, Father, for giving me this privilege. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Peace with God. That's quite a statement. Peace with God. When I look at that statement, I realize the word that really is the center of everything is God. So this morning, ask yourself the question, who is God to you? Who's God? When I read the word, I see that he is our creator. The Bible says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. He was our creator. God the Father was our creator. He is the creator of all things, everything. We drive out here and we see trees, we see all kinds of things, and God is the creator of everything. Everything started with God. He is the designer. He is the maker. When I look at the, you know, I'm a trained EMT. I used to be an EMT examiner for the state of Wisconsin. And one of the things about being an EMT that was a threat, a real a blessing to me was, is beginning to understand how this human body works. I was taken back at how God created this thing that we live in, this body, and all of its intricate, just detailed situations. And so He's our designer, He's our maker, He's our heavenly. That's who God is. So we have to understand this morning that it's not so much what we want or like or whatever. It's all about God. See, as far as God is concerned, it's all about us. He did everything to bring us into His kingdom. So everything He did was for us. All right? This whole creation was for us. And we need to grab a hold of that. That's what God sees. He works day and night so that we might come to Him, so that we might follow Him. But from our perspective, from where we are, it's all about Him. And so we need to realize that it's not what we decide to do, it's what He has decided for us to do. One verse in the Bible says that we were created to do good works that He designed before the beginning of time. So, I mean, it's all about Him. And so we need to fit in too. So I looked at we are His creation. We are His design. We're here. The Bible talks about us as being a body, the body of Christ. It talks about us as being a vessel. It talks about us as being a temple. Understand this morning, people. We are the clay. He is the potter. See, we like to think that we are in control. No, we're not. And if you think that, and if that's your life of being in control and doing what you want to do, we'll see this morning that there's some problems that come along with that kind of thinking. We were created so that we could be obedient to God and His authority. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon says this, "My final conclusion after going through all this stuff in life is that we need to fear God and obey His commands." One of the struggles that I see in our world today is that we don't fear God. We don't see God as who He is. We like to create a God that we can control. And you don't control God Almighty. He is the authority. He is the one that we are to follow. He has direct authority. He has delegated authority. But our job is to submit to Him and to do what He has led us to do. But we have a problem with that. And the problem is, people, that we want to do it our way. We want to do what we decide to do. And we think that what we decide to do is all right. But in Isaiah 55:8, it says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways." God doesn't think like we do, or better yet, we don't think like God does. And so if we think that we can make our own decisions and do what we want to do, most likely we are not going to be doing it the way God desires us to do, because we are in control instead of Him. His ways, the way He does things, are not like us. His thoughts are so far above ours. And then in Proverbs 3:5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your understanding." So we're not to trust in our thoughts and our ways. We are to trust in His ways. See, we're talking about peace with God. And so in order to have peace with God, we've got to walk in His way. That's where the peace is. Jesus did not come into this world the way that man thought He should. If you're talking about Jesus, the King of Kings, then he ought to have came from one of the higher families. He would have been born in a beautiful room, but he was born in a barn. He was born in a little barn, a little shed behind the inn. Born in a manger, just a little box that the cows ate their food out of. That's where God had His Son come into the world. See, in our thinking, that was totally wacko. That's why they had a hard time believing it. But you see, God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. God is all-powerful and He is all-authority. He is all-righteousness. We are created to be under His authority, not Him being under ours. So let me give you an example. Would you put up the first picture? All right? So when God created this earth, there was a garden called the Garden of Eden. And inside that garden He placed Adam and Eve. But there was also two trees. There was a lot of trees, and they were beautiful to look at and beautiful for the food and that they brought and so forth. And Adam and Eve had everything they wanted. But there were two trees in the center of the garden, and one was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and one was the tree of life. And so in this garden that He created, there was order. Everything was in its place. Everything was in order. And there was peace. Peace that He created. And it was just a beautiful place. And there was relationship with God and man. So we had it was just a beautiful place to be. A place of rest. A place of peace. Place of joy, wholeness, completeness. Everything was there. Even the animals that God created, all of the animals were there. And actually, Adam named those animals. And so, and God gave him, He said that He gave them the authority over God's creation. We see that. And also, He told Adam and Eve, go and replenish the earth. In other words, have more humans, have more bodies. You know, have a family. But He gave them a command. He said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So there's the garden. There's life, there's order, there's peace, joy, all this stuff is going on. Adam is given authority over it, over this creation, over this world that God has made. And then he said, replenish, you know, but He said, don't eat of that tree. Something happens. You want to put up the next one? Satan comes on the scene. Let's talk about Satan for a minute. His name was Lucifer. He was an archangel along with Gabriel. He was one of the top angels. In fact, he was the top angel. He was the number one archangel. He was the authority over the angels. And he was also the angel of worship and praise. It was his whole life was to bring praise to God, to lift up God, and all the angels would follow him and they would worship God. And as time goes on, he began to realize, and the Bible says he was the most beautiful angel, and he goes on, and all of a sudden pride begins to enter into his thinking. And he says, man, I'm somebody. I've got this authority, I've got this power, and I've got this beauty, And man, the angels followed me, and that kept going. And one day he decided that he was like God. He was just. And then one day he stepped a little farther, and he said, "I'm better than God." And God boots him out of heaven, along with those who are following him. 1/3 of the angels fall to the earth, the Bible says. They come into a world, and God creates this world. This world is filled with all this beautiful stuff. And God gives Adam the authority and power over it. So Satan comes along, who doesn't have any power anymore or authority. His beauty has been stripped from him. And he comes along and he begins to entice Adam and Eve. And he causes them to want to desire to eat the fruit from the knowledge of good and evil. It's a beautiful thing. The fruit looked good to eat. But oh, there was one thing more. You can be like God. And Adam and Eve fell into the trap, and they partook of the fruit of that tree, and all of a sudden, things changed. And there was a separation that came in this kingdom of God, this world that God had created. And when they did that, the authority that Adam and Eve had was handed over to Satan. And from that point on, the Bible says he became the ruler of this world. Where did he get his authority? He didn't get it from God. He got it from God's delegate. And the delegate, why do you think when Jesus was in the wilderness that the devil came and said, "If you do this, I'll give you all of these things"? See, that's the whole thing. Now Satan had his authority back, had his power, not in heaven, but on this earth. And man was sitting inside this place. It was a separation from God, because if Adam and Eve would have gone and eaten of the tree of life, they would have lived forever in their sin. So God banishes them from the garden. And in the garden now there was disorder and chaos, unrest, separation from God and man, broken relationship, loss of authority. That's the world that you and I were born into. That's the world that we live in. We're not a part of it, but we live in it. It's a world of chaos, and if anybody can look outside and not see the chaos that's in our world, you're blind. There's chaos, there's hurt, there's pain, there's no peace, there's unrest. There's all kinds of things out there in that world. There's separation between man and man. Most of all, there's separation between God and man. And we all experienced it. We were all a part of it. We were, every one of us here have been through and gone through a bunch of junk in our lives that was there because we were born into a fallen world, into a world filled with sin and all kinds of things. There we were. Thank God. 1 John 3:8 says, "But when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the very beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of Satan." Isn't that great? Let's go to the next one. The next picture. So there we are, the realm of Satan. That's the world in which we live, people. There's disorder, there's chaos, there's separation from not only God, but there's separation in families, brothers against brothers, sisters against the brothers. It's a chaotic world. Broken relationships. But the kingdom of God is still over here, and it's still there. There is a kingdom of God. There still is a garden. that God is the head of. He's the king of it. He's the Lord and God of it. And in that kingdom of God, there's order, peace, and relationship. There's God, there's believers. It's a tremendous place to be. And Jesus Christ had to come on the scene in order to provide a way for men and women within mankind, within this kingdom of this realm of Satan, to get into the kingdom of God. And that's why Jesus was born and came to this world. Because when you get into this realm of peace, and Pastor brought this out at the very beginning, peace, Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace, I came to bring separation. Wait a minute, separation from what? Did he cause any, you see, and what happens is he came. And let me go back into the ancient Hebrew. I want you to hear this. The word for peace in the ancient of Hebrew, the very bottom of the Hebrew process, all right? The very beginning of it. There are four letters or four pictures in that word. The first one is sheen, and it means to destroy. The second one is lamend, which means authority. And then the third one is vav, which means to establish. And then men is the fourth letter. It means chaos. So when you look at the word peace, it is Jesus who brings peace. Jesus came to destroy the authority that establishes chaos. You see, you got to understand, man created the problem. It wasn't Satan that created the problem that this world had in the garden. It was man's disobedience to God. It was man deciding that he wanted something more than what God was giving him. And so he partook of the knowledge of good and evil, which the devil said would make him like God. So man decided he wanted to be like God. And so this man disobeyed God, and we had a schism. We had a separation between us and God. So Jesus had to come, listen, as a man, just like Adam, and he had to go through what he went through. But when he died on that cross, he destroyed the works of the devil, and he reached down and he defeated or he destroyed the authority that was established in chaos, Lucifer or Satan. And in doing that, he provided a way for mankind to come from this world of chaos into the kingdom of God. Wow. Wow. If you haven't given your life to Jesus, if you've not experienced God forgiving you and making you into a brand new creation, then you're in this world of chaos, and that world of chaos is going to hell. And the only way out of that world of brokenness and chaos and all kinds of stuff is through Jesus Christ. See, when there was a pamphlet years ago of four spiritual laws, and it had a picture of the this world over here, and then the kingdom and the cross. And so I put that in because the only way from the world, the realm of Satan into the kingdom of God is via Jesus Christ or the cross and what he did on the cross. So I put that cross there, and all of a sudden it dawned on me as I did it that when you start talking about peace, you see, first of all, is going in and grabbing back what was lost to man's disobedience, giving an opportunity for people who are in that world to come into the kingdom of God. So that right there was the gate. Jesus became the gate, the pathway. Jesus said this, I am the way, I am the truth. I am the life. No man can come to God except through me. So the only way from this world to this world is through Christ. He's the gate. But then when we look at peace, and Pastor brought this out the first two sermons ago about what peace is, one of the things it is, it's a wall. It's a wall of separation. And so if you want to get over here, then you've got to go through Christ, and you realize that Christ is the way there, but he's also the wall between us and that world. We don't have to sin anymore. We don't have to live in unrest anymore. Now, the problem is that people keep bouncing back and forth. They keep wanting to run over here, and they start experiencing unrest and no peace and all kinds of stuff. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. Would you bring that up? Today I have given you a choice. And that's your choice. And I want you to hear this morning. You have a choice this morning. You can stay in the world of chaos, or you can live in the world of peace. Your choice. Nobody else makes that choice. Pastor Amundsen, on the day after the fire, I was awake and praying, and about 5 in the morning, so I texted him. And he texted me right back because he was awake. So we were kind of bouncing back and forth and talking back and forth. And he said this statement. He said, you know, when it happened, I was in turmoil, all this other stuff. But my wife now is in the hospital because she had a tension heart attack. And what'd they call it? There was a name for it. Stress induced, but it was a broken heart syndrome, and she actually had a mini heart attack because of the stress, because of the. So his wife was in the hospital. He's staying with a friend. 5 o'clock in the morning, and we're talking back and forth, and he said this. But Arv, I got peace. I got peace. You see, I live in this world that's around me, but I've got peace in my heart. And if you don't have that this morning, you have to make a choice. Today I've given you a choice between life and death, between blessing or curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life, so that you and your descendants might live. Let me just say this. Jesus said this. I am the way. I am the truth. I am life. So he's talking about Jesus. Is that 19 and 20, both of them? You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Wow. And then I have one more. John chapter 14, verse 20. Listen to this, people. I'm leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and heart. Peace of mind and a peace in your heart. And the peace that I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or be afraid. If you want to live in this world, people, then you're going to suffer the consequences and the curses upon this world. You're not going to have rest. You're not going to have peace. It's a world of chaos. It's a world of destruction. It's a world of all kinds of hurt. But the world that God wants us to go into has peace and joy and wholeness. And we can experience that right here in this world of chaos. We can experience this supernatural peace and rest if we give our life to Jesus Christ. Ask Him to forgive us of our sins. Ask Him to come into our heart and make us brand new. And in doing that, He ushers us through the gate into the kingdom of God. And even though we live in this world, we're not of it, because we're of another world waiting to go home. Isn't that cool? I love it. I want to say this morning, I have peace in my heart. No matter what comes down the pike, whether it's a foot, whether it's back problems, whether it's a head problem, whether it's whatever, whether, you know, all kinds of stuff that every one of us go through, so be it. Because this world is not my home. I'm on my way somewhere else, all right? Where are you? Because today, right now, you have a choice to make. Are you going to choose to stay in this world and go down with it? Or are you going to choose to become part of the kingdom of God and experience His peace and rest? It's your choice. Your choice. Nobody else is going to make it for you. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Father. Every single one of us have a choice right now. The same choice that Adam and Eve had. They chose poorly. Help us to make the right choice today, so that we can enter your kingdom of peace, of rest, of joy, happiness, fullness, completeness, praise and worship and honor, and justice and righteousness, all the things, Father, that are so a part of you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Bless the decisions that are made today, Father. Help people to make the right decision. In Jesus' name, amen.